The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, everyone, to the deep dive. Our goal here is always to take these really foundational texts, these big ideas that shape how we see the world, and kind of break them down into something essential, something you could really grasp.
And today, we're tackling a really significant one, Karl Polanyi's The Great Transformation. It came out in 1944, but honestly, it feels incredibly relevant right now.
It really does. It offers this, well, radical way of looking at everything from, say, the gig economy to the climate crisis. It argues that the market system we often take for granted, it's not natural. In fact, Polanyi suggests it's fragile, maybe even inherently destructive in some ways.
Yeah, he kicks off with this massive historical question, which really pulls you in.
Right. Why did the 19th century, which seemed so stable on the surface, you know, the 100 years peace, industrial growth, all that, why did it just completely implode? World wars, the Great Depression, fascism.
Exactly. And Polanyi's answer isn't about, you know, bad treaties or specific political mistakes. He argues the problem was baked into the very idea of a self-regulating market economy.
That it was doomed from a start, almost.
In a way, yes. He called the self-regulating market a stark utopia. An idea impossible to actually achieve without, as he put it, annihilating the human and natural substance of society.
Wow. Okay, so our mission today is to really unpack that core idea, this concept that the market isn't natural and that society inevitably pushes back.
Precisely. And show why this lens Polanyi gave us is still so useful for understanding, well, a lot of the conflicts and tensions we see today.
So digging into that 19th century collapse, that 100 years peace from 1815 to 1914, Polanyi says it wasn't as stable as it looked. Why trace the breakdown to the economy specifically?
Well, he argues the root cause was the attempt to forcefully disembed the economy from social life.
Disembed. What exactly does that mean?
Think of it like this. For most of human history, economic activities were part of the social fabric. They served social needs, kinship, community obligations, religious life.
Okay, so the economy was sort of inside society.
Exactly. Embedded.
Yeah.
But the 19th century tried to flip that. It tried to make society serve the needs of the market. Human relationships, traditions, even nature itself had to bend to market logic. And Polanyi says that reversal, that disembedding, that was the fatal flaw.
Got it. Before we go deeper into the theory, maybe we should say a bit about Polanyi himself. Karl Polanyi, 1886 to 1964, Austro-Hungarian.
Right. And crucially, he wasn't just an economist. He was an economic historian, but drew heavily on anthropology, sociology, a really broad perspective.
Which makes his viewpoint quite different from a lot of standard economic thinking, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And you have to remember his life experience. He lived through the collapse of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He saw socialist experiments in Red Vienna. And then, crucially, he had to flee fascism.
So he wasn't just theorizing in an ivory tower. He saw societies ripped apart by economic and political upheaval.
Exactly. That personal experience, that trauma, you can feel it in the writing. His critique isn't just about abstract models. It's about the real human cost. It's about society's instinct for self-preservation when faced with the cold calculus of the market.
He focuses less on just class conflict, more on this broader societal pushback.
Yes. He argues that people, communities, even nature itself, will inevitably resist being treated purely as commodities, as things to be bought and sold.
Which brings us right back to the book's central idea, maybe the most provocative one.
The idea that the self-regulating market is essentially a myth.
Not natural.
Not spontaneous.
No. Polanyi argues it was a deliberate modern invention. It required immense state power, social engineering, even violence to impose it. That stark utopia had to be built and enforced.
Okay, so to get that, we need his concept of embeddedness again. For most of history, the economy was, what, secondary?
Pretty much. If you look at traditional societies, and he drew a lot on anthropology, economic life was organized around principles like reciprocity, gift-giving, mutual obligations, or redistribution, like a chief collecting goods and handing them out, or just householding, producing for your own family's needs.
Markets existed, but they weren't in charge.
Right. They were often peripheral, regulated by custom, by morality. They served social ends.
And the Great Transformation was the attempt to flip that script completely.
Yes. The 19th century project was to disembed the economy, to make market logic, profit, efficiency the supreme organizing principle for all of society. Everything else had to adjust to it.
Polanyi identifies four pillars holding up that seemingly stable 19th century world: the balance of power between nations, the liberal state, the self-regulating market itself. And what was the fourth?
The international gold standard. And Polanyi saw this as the real linchpin, the mechanism that spread the market's harsh logic across the globe.
How did the gold standard do that? It sounds kind of technical.
Well, think about it. Tying your national currency directly to a fixed amount of gold meant your domestic economy was chained to global finance. If international markets demanded stability, maybe because gold was flowing out, countries on the standard had to react.
But doing what?
Often by forcing down wages, cutting spending, even causing unemployment. Whatever it took to defend the currency's value against gold.
Ah, so local needs, like people having jobs, became secondary to keeping the currency pegged to gold.
Exactly. Social needs were subordinated to the abstract need for currency stability. It was a brutal transmission belt for market discipline right into the heart of nations.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Polanyi uses 19th century England as his main case study. And he uses this incredibly evocative phrase, the satanic mill.
Yeah, it's a stark term.
What's he trying to capture with that? It's more than just factories, right?
Oh, much more. He's capturing the violence inherent in creating a market society. Think about the enclosure movements in England.
Right, where common lands were fenced off for private farming.
Yes. Polanyi frames this as a conflict between improvement, meaning economic efficiency, commercial agriculture, and habitation, the actual lives and social fabric of the people living on that land.
So progress for some meant devastation for others.
Absolutely. Okay. To create a national market for land and, crucially, for labor, you first had to forcibly separate people from their traditional livelihoods on the land. You had to destroy their way of life to create a pool of propertyless workers desperate for wages in the new factories. That's the foundational violence he's pointing to.
Which leads directly to probably his most famous concept, fictitious commodities.
Yes, this is absolutely central. Polanyi says the whole idea of a self-regulating market hinges on treating three specific things as if they were commodities produced for sale. But they aren't.
And those are?
Labor, land, and money.
Okay, why fictitious?
Well, think about it. Labor isn't produced to be sold. Labor is just human activity. It's life itself.
Well, people.
Exactly. It's inseparable from the person doing it. To treat it purely as a commodity, whose price, wages, should just fluctuate with supply and demand, ignores the fact that you're dealing with human beings who need security, community, and can be destroyed by unemployment or unsafe conditions. Commodifying labor completely, Polanyi warns, risks social disintegration.
Okay, that makes sense. Then land.
Land is nature. It's our environment. It wasn't produced by humans for sale either. To treat it merely as real estate, a commodity whose value is determined solely by market price, is to ignore its ecological functions, its role in community life, its, well, finite nature.
Commodifying it risks environmental destruction.
Yes. And finally, money. Money, Polanyi argues, isn't a commodity like wheat or iron. It's fundamentally a token of purchasing power, often created and managed by social institutions like the state or banks. It represents social trust.
So treating it as a commodity, like under the gold standard,
means subjecting the entire economy to potentially wild swings based on the supply and demand for this token. It risks speculation, financial panics, deflationary spirals, ruinous crises, basically, because you're treating something that's fundamentally about social agreement as if it were just another good.
He uses a specific historical example to show the tension around commodifying labor, doesn't he? The Speenham Land Law.
Right. Speenham Land was this system in England, roughly 1795 to 1834. It was basically an early form of welfare. Parishes provided subsidies to top up laborers' wages to a basic subsistence level based on the price of bread.
So it was trying to shield people from the harshness of the emerging labor market, a form of social protection.
Exactly. That was the intention. But Polanyi makes this really counterintuitive argument about it.
That it actually made things worse.
Yes. He argued that by guaranteeing a minimum income, regardless of wages, Speenham removed the incentive for employers to pay a living wage and for workers to, well, work diligently. It depressed wages further, trapped people in poverty, and actually prevented the formation of a functioning national labor market.
So the protection backfired.
In his view, yes. It created this kind of degrading dependency. Its abolition in 1834 was brutal, forcing people fully into the competitive labor market. But Polanyi argues it was, in a sense, necessary to actually establish that market. But the key takeaway wasn't just that Speenham Land failed.
What was it?
It showed that even as the market was being created, society instinctively tried to protect itself from its effects. It couldn't just let people starve. That impulse for protection is crucial.
Which leads perfectly into his idea of the double movement.
Exactly. This is maybe the core dynamic Polanyi identifies. There's this constant tension. On one hand, you have the movement to expand the market, push for laissez-faire, deregulation, commodification.
That's the first movement.
Right. But then simultaneously, you get a counter-movement, a spontaneous reaction from society to protect itself from the dislocations and damages caused by the unchecked market.
And this isn't just like workers versus bosses.
No, that's key. It's often cross-class. Different groups react to protect their interests or the social fabric. Think about it. Businesses might demand tariffs to protect themselves from foreign competition. That's protectionism. Workers organize trade unions and demand factory laws for safety and reasonable hours. That's protecting labor.
Makes sense.
Even financiers and governments eventually realized they needed central banking to manage the money supply and prevent constant panics. That's protecting the fictitious commodity of money from pure market forces.
So all these regulations and institutions we see, they're not necessarily anti-market plots, but society naturally trying to shield itself.
That's Polanyi's argument. It's society instinctively defending the human, natural, and even organizational basis of its own existence against the corrosive effects of the market treating everything as a commodity.
But this leads to a problem, doesn't it? This constant pushing and pulling.
A huge problem. The double movement creates an inherent tension, an institutional deadlock. The market tries to expand. Society pushes back with regulations and protections. The result? The economy can't be fully free or fully controlled.
It's caught in the middle, paralyzed.
In a way, yes. Polanyi argues this fundamental paralysis, this inability of the system to find a stable equilibrium because of the constant clash between market logic and social protection, was the deeper underlying cause of the massive crises of the 20th century, like the Great Depression.
And this connects to his analysis of fascism, which is pretty chilling.
It is. He doesn't see fascism as just, you know, extreme nationalism or a political aberration. He sees it as a perverse, violent response to the breakdown caused by the double movement and the strains of the gold standard.
A response? How so?
When democratic institutions seemed unable to resolve the tension, unable to manage the economy or protect society effectively, fascism offered a brutal solution. It proposed to forcibly re-embed the economy within the totalitarian nation-state.
By destroying democracy and freedom.
Exactly. Sacrificing liberty to restore a sense of order and social cohesion, however distorted, by subordinating the market entirely to the authoritarian state. It was a catastrophic reaction to the failure of the self-regulating market ideal.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to take in. If you were to boil it down, what are the absolute key takeaways, the main themes from Polanyi we should remember?
Well, theme one has to be the myth of the self-regulating market, just hammering that home. Markets aren't natural ecosystems. They're social constructs, historically built and enforced, often violently, by the state.
Right, which really challenges you, the listener, to think about economic forces we often describe as natural today. Are they really?
And that leads straight to theme two, his famous paradox. Laissez-faire was planned, planning was not.
Meaning the move towards free markets required deliberate state action, legislation, enforcement.
Precisely. Whereas the counter-movement for social protection often arose more spontaneously, reactively, organically, from society itself. It flips the usual narrative that the state is the enemy of the free market. Polanyi says the state was its architect.
So when we hear calls for deregulation today, Polanyi forces us to ask, what are the hidden forms of planning or state action enabling that freedom? And what are the social costs likely to be?
Exactly. And theme three, I'd say, is the deep trauma of disembeddedness, the inherent social and psychological damage that comes from treating human life, labor, and nature land as mere inputs for the market machine.
It makes you think about all the things that do protect us now: healthcare systems, environmental laws, social safety nets. Polanyi would see these as society's defenses against those fictitious commodities, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. There are manifestations of that protective counter-movement, trying to re-embed the economy, however imperfectly, within social limits.
The book is also just full of incredibly quotable lines that really stick with you.
It really is. He had a way with words.
I think the first one we have to mention just sums up the whole thesis. The idea of a self-adjusting market implied a stark utopia. Such an institution could not exist for any length of time without annihilating the human and natural substance of society.
Yeah, that's the core warning right there.
Mm.
A truly free market,
yeah,
left completely to its own devices, is self-destructive. It eats away at the foundations it stands on, people and nature.
And then that paradox again, it's worth repeating. Laissez-faire was planned, planning was not.
It just forces you to rethink the relationship between politics and economics. Economic freedom doesn't just happen. It's a political project.
And one more, linking directly back to those core concepts. To allow the market mechanism to be sole director of the fate of human beings and their natural environment would result in the demolition of society.
Stark language.
Yeah.
Demolition. But it connects directly back to labor and land as fictitious commodities. You can't let the market dictate everything about people's lives and the planet they live on without facing catastrophic consequences.
It's really striking how a book written, 80 years ago, feels like it could have been written last week. The applications to today seem endless.
They really do. Take globalization and populism. You have this huge push, especially from the 1980s onwards, for global neoliberalism, freeing up capital, goods, sometimes labor, across borders.
The expansionist movement.
Exactly. And what did we see in response? Predictably, a contemporary double movement. The rise of populism, nationalism, movements like Brexit, calls for trade protection. It's society, in various forms, pushing back, demanding protection from the perceived negative consequences of hyperglobalization, particularly on jobs and communities.
Makes perfect sense through a Polanyian lens and the 2008 financial crisis.
Textbook Polanyi, isn't it? You had the fictitious commodity of money, or rather complex financial derivatives, based on credit. Treated as something for pure speculation, detached from real economic value.
Leading to near demolition, as he put it.
Right. And what followed? Massive state intervention. Bailouts, new regulations like Dodd-Frank. That was the counter-movement kicking in. Society desperately trying to protect itself from financial ruin.
And maybe the most urgent application today, the climate crisis.
Absolutely. Polanyi gives us the perfect framework. It's the ultimate consequence of treating land, nature, the environment, as a limitless commodity to be exploited for profit, ignoring the ecological devastation.
So all the climate summits, the regulations, the carbon taxes, that's society trying to pull back to reassert some control.
It's society attempting to protect its natural substance, as he would say, from the logic of the market. It's the double movement playing out on a planetary scale.
And it makes you look at current debates differently, too, doesn't it? Things like universal basic income or regulations for the gig economy.
You're seeing debates about the commodification of labor in real time. Is a person just a flexible input available on demand via an app? Or does society have an obligation to provide some security, some protection? Polanyi forces us to ask, what are we prioritizing, market flexibility or human stability?
So wrapping up, what's the one thing that really stuck with you or maybe surprised you from revisiting Polanyi?
For me, it's the enduring power of that core lesson. Markets must serve society, not the other way around. It sounds simple, but it's radical. We have to constantly, consciously manage this tension between efficiency and protection. It's not a problem to be solved once and for all. It's a permanent condition of modern life that requires democratic negotiation. We can't just let the economy happen to us.
Yeah, that's powerful. And for me, what was really striking this time was his final reflection on freedom. He completely flips the script on what freedom means. Well, he argues that the liberal idea of freedom as just the absence of state interference, the freedom of the market, is an illusion and often a destructive one. True freedom, for Polanyi, is something more positive. It's the democratic capacity of a society to consciously shape its economic life.
So freedom through collective control, not freedom from it.
Exactly. Freedom is being able to decide together that our economy will support human values and social goals rather than letting market forces dictate those things to us. It's about mastery, not helplessness.
That really leaves you with a challenge, doesn't it? Polanyi basically asks us to change the fundamental question.
Instead of asking, how can we make the market work better and more efficiently?
He pushes us to ask, how do we design our economy? How do we embed it so that it supports the kind of just, humane, and sustainable society we actually want to live in?
A much bigger and maybe much more important question to ponder. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekhatra Foundation.